It's time to open the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick. Hello and welcome to program number 496 of the Radio Thrift Shop as we're cruising toward 500 episodes here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. Now, the Radio Thrift Shop is still a work in progress. On any given week, you might hear folk, jazz, easy listening, indie music, and forays deep into the dusty archives of the Thrift Shop. And this evening's program is going to feature Forgotten 45s, those 7-inch vinyl singles from the record bin here at the Thrift Shop. Also, we have a couple of special features on this edition of Radio Thrift Shop. We'll be checking in with Laura Erickson and For the Birds, and also a mini documentary on listening to the Northern Lights. So let's crank up the music and drop the needle.
People move in time with the impulse of their minds. They relax with friends that they happen for to find. I find that my travels are not over yet. How can I find the friends I haven't met yet? Mm-hmm. pet. How can I find the friends I haven't met yet?
Most of the time you're dreaming, not feeling.
yet another unusual 45 from the Thrift Shop archives. We heard Hello Blinkers and Goodnight Blinkers. The Blinkers was a custom record made for a hip club in Manchester in the UK called Blinkers Restaurant, and it was probably given away to patrons and sold to members. And the band was essentially 10cc, so if it sounds a little bit familiar, that's why. And before that, we heard another very scarce 45 from Blue Sandalwood Soap, a tune called Friends I Haven't Met Yet. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you're all Friends I Haven't Met Yet, listening to the Radio Thrift Shop.
Yes, it's for now, not for a while, it's forever. Forever in your smile, in your smile.
Tell me we're living, not merely undying. And tell me we're giving, not merely trying.
Mind voices, there's no word for tomorrow. Never mind sadness, 'cause there's joy after sorrow.
Yes, it's for now, not for a while, it's forever.
A mysterious 45 released back in 1963 on the Strand record label. That's the Chris Colombo Quintet with Summertime. Before that, Chuck and Mary Perrin with a tune called Sundance. And we started off with The Foundations and Build Me Up Buttercup. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. And this evening, we're focusing on 45 RPM records here at the Radio Thrift Shop.
Exploring science and the sea. When you walk on a tattered carpet or a stained-up rug, you don't usually worry about it lunging up and biting you. Unless, that is, you happen to be walking through shallow coastal waters around Indonesia or parts of Australia. In those areas, the carpet just might give you a nasty shock. These carpets are sharks, known as wabigongs. They have wide, flat bodies. Most of them are colored in shades of brown, speckled with white spots or circles. And they have tassels around their heads. In fact, that's where they got their name. Wabigong is an Aboriginal word that means shaggy beard. The sharks spend much of their time flattened against the seafloor, a perfect carpet-like disguise. There are about a dozen species of wabigongs. Most of them grow up to a few feet in length. The biggest species tops out at about 9 feet. Perhaps the most elaborate-looking species is the tasseled wabigong. The appendages around its head are especially complex. They have multiple branches, so they look like small trees. Wabigongs eat bottom dwellers, lobsters, crabs, some fish, and even other sharks, including their own kind. Females incubate their eggs inside their own bodies, then give birth to about 20 pups at a time. When they're born, the kiddos are hungry. They sometimes eat unhatched eggs, or their hatched brothers and sisters. The newborns then tend to scatter quickly, in part so they don't get eaten by mom, allowing them to carpet new patches of the ocean floor. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas. I'm Holly Brawley.
This is DJ Frederick. You're tuned to the Forgotten 45 show on the Radio Thrift Shop. Here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. Coming up a little later, we have a mini documentary on listening to the Northern Lights. But first, we're going to hear from Laura Erickson and her show For the Birds.
Back in 2011, I wrote a book for the University of Minnesota Press, 12 Owls, about the 12 species of owls that have been recorded in Minnesota. At the time I wrote it, I'd seen 11 of them, each one in St. Louis County, and some in other counties as well. The rarest owl I'd seen here was the burrowing owl, who turned up for a single day in the Erie Pier area at 40th Avenue West in Duluth in 1997. Burrowing owls are critically endangered in the state and no longer seen every year even where they belong, in the prairie areas of extreme western Minnesota. One evening in September 2004, I was shocked to hear an eastern screech owl from my own front yard. Frank Nicoletti banded one or two that week near Duluth. If a screech owl was going to show up on Peabody Street, I'm not surprised that I was lucky enough to hear it. My education screech owl, Archimedes, always called a lot in September, increasing the likelihood that a passing screech owl would linger and call back. Screech owls are regular, year-round residents in Minnesota, but further south. That screech owl, over 15 years ago, was the 11th owl species I'd seen in St. Louis County, which seemed about as good as it would possibly ever get. From the time we moved to Duluth in 1981, I'd been having a recurring dream about seeing a barn owl in my neck of the woods. But that 39-year-old fantasy was a pipe dream. I've often wondered if I'd be lucky enough to see a barn owl somewhere in the state. Someone reported seeing one in the Sac Zim Bog on New Year's Day, but no one else confirmed it, even with all the birders scouring the bog to start their year lists. My daughter was in town through January 3rd, and I'd figured I'd check out the bog on the 4th, but then I had that pesky heart attack and had to put off birding. Meanwhile, no one else reported the barn owl until Saturday the 11th. I saw a text message about it around 5 p.m. I figured it would be too much of a long shot to try the next day, but it was reported again Sunday morning, so Russ drove me up to the bog. At least a dozen cars were parked along Highway 7 when we arrived. The bird had been seen 15 or 20 minutes before, but stayed hunkered down for the next couple of hours. When it took off, I got a few flight shots, but it was never up for more than a few seconds. A barn owl. My body might not have been 100%, what with my heart attack, but my eyes were about as good as they ever were, thanks to my recent cataract surgery. The bird wasn't close, and I only saw it in flight, so my photos aren't the best, but oh well, this barn owl was my 12th Minnesota owl species and my 12th seen in St. Louis County. The thrilling afterglow lasted while Russ and I ate a late lunch at the Wilbert Cafe. Then I got another text message. The poor owl alighted close enough to some people that they could see it was in very bad condition, and they easily captured it to bring it to the Raptor Center, but it didn't make it. A profoundly distressing, heartbreaking end to the day. Some people, of course, criticized the people who had been, quote, gawking at the poor bird, as if these birders were responsible for or connected to the owl's death. Highway 7 is always busy, and in addition to the auto traffic, several loud, long trains went by while I was there, yet for some reason the owl had arrived and settled in there entirely on its own. Were the people gathered at the roadside disturbing it? Ravens harassing and dive-bombing it in the morning certainly had, but every person I saw stayed on the roadside, and I saw absolutely no footprints into the snow either. The bird was badly emaciated and would have died, whether there were human witnesses or not. No one knows what sends out-of-range vagrants wandering, so we'll never know why this particular barn owl appeared at the Sac Zim Bog at the very start of 2020. At the very start of 2016, an ivory gull turned up in Duluth. Hundreds of birders saw it in the weeks before that bird started looking poorly and ended up dying. As sad as that situation was, I feel even sadder about the barn owl. Something about owls touches my heart in a place gulls can't approach. After the Raptor Center necropsies the bird, we may learn something that could help the next out-of-place barn owl. The very first barn owl I ever saw on the grounds of the Lincoln Park Zoo in December 1978 also ended up dying. Even Chicago is too far north of the winter range of this bird. I'm glad I got to witness a moment of that barn owl's life and still treasure the photos Russ took of it, proof that our lives had intersected for one brief moment. I'm sure in the murky future that's how I'll feel about this barn owl and my photos of it. But right now, my triumph at having seen my 12th owl species in St. Louis County is tainted with sorrow. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
Need to get away. on the ship across the bay. Down old San Sebastian, going south. And everybody, brother, was a million miles away. Is that the way to treat your guy?
Oh,
Todd Rundgren with Hello, It's Me. And yes, hello, it is me, TJ Frederick, here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. Before that, we heard the British band Tintin with Is That the Way? And we started off with Three Dog Night, Out in the Country. Just a reminder that I'm here every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. till midnight on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. All of the programs are archived on radioforall.net, and also, if you're hunting around on radioforall.net, you might want to check out my other shows, All Indie Radio and Free Radio Skybird. And it's time for our mini documentary on listening to the Northern Lights.
Earth is constantly bombarded by particles from the sun. When sunspots or a solar flare send enough of these particles toward the Earth's magnetic field, the skies at both poles light up with the aurora borealis and the aurora australis. The particles also create very low-frequency electromagnetic waves, creating a type of natural radio. It can be picked up around the globe with specially designed receivers. So every year around this time, sound recordist Steve McGreevy heads north, where the reception is best, and points his receiver at the sky.
There's just a whole litany of different natural radio sounds to record. Hisslers and growlers and howlers and tweaks. These clusters like a pack of dogs barking. And in the case of this morning, we're having these very soft, hissy whistlers, which are actually fairly rare.
It's 5:24 in the morning on Monday, the 22nd of June, 1998, at Waterton Park, Belly River Campground, Southern Alberta, Canada. And we've got these great hissy whistlers happening, and in the right channel we're hearing the beginnings of chorus.
There was a burst of static from something pretty close, a lightning storm. Oftentimes when I'm recording, you'll hear kind of a and maybe a second or two later you'll hear the electromagnetic pulse from the lightning bolt takes a round trip to the opposite hemisphere, and then it bounces back. And in making this long trip, the frequency components are spread out, so you get this downward falling tone, like a sigh or a hiss. These receivers are sensitive enough that a lightning storm could be happening 1,000 miles away and the static would still be strong. You can just hear all the snapping. Let me turn on this speaker amplifier. You just can imagine there is so much. Oh, in fact, we're hearing some nice noises now coming in. Okay, this is a very beautiful sounding event. This is called chorus. Particles from the sun are hitting Earth's magnetic field and generating these noises probably several thousand miles out in space. Imagine a soap bubble with wind currents pushing against it and you can see it deform. Well, that's essentially what happens with Earth's magnetic field. So yeah, I've got these funky looking triangular shaped loops. Five turns of about 350 feet of wire hanging up on the tree, picking up the beautiful sounds of Mother Earth. They're just vibrations of electrical and magnetic energy. And so essentially all these receivers do is pick up the Earth's radio waves and translate them directly to the same sound frequencies. And so the result is just beautiful and amazing. And it's been going on, well, for eons. And they first noticed it in England. About 1882, British telegraph operators started hearing these strange whistling tones in their headphones. But it wasn't until the 1930s when some people started associating these with visible northern lights. As electronic equipment became more available to the average experimenter and hobbyist, amateurs started listening to this, using fairly crude equipment, you know, maybe a phonograph amplifier connected to a barbed wire fence in the middle of nowhere, and similar to what I did when I first heard this myself. When I discovered Earth makes its own radio waves, I was amazed because I'm a nature enthusiast anyway, you know, always been interested in astronomy and science. I've got a long, quite checkered history with radio, beginning as a little kid playing with an AM pocket radio and tuning in distant stations at night, and I've done all sorts of crazy things, planting radio beacons in the middle of the deserts and bouncing signals off aircraft. And
time check.
There's a station in Colorado called WWV, which does nothing but transmit the time 24 hours a day on shortwave.
Polar threshold indices for 21 June follow. Solar flux 102 and bold A index 16. Repeat solar flux.
But once an hour, WWV gives lets me know what's going on with the Earth's magnetic field, and they give what they call space weather, which is what's going on in the sun and between the sun and the Earth.
Solar activity was low. The geomagnetic field was quiet to minor storm. The forecast
so
for the next 24 hours.
I'm aware that right now the Earth is in a magnetic storm, and it may be affecting power lines right now. It may be affecting satellites right now. Space weather, this invisible weather we can't really see or feel on Earth, but indeed it's going on out there. And it's wild, and it's stormy at times, and it's calm at other times. It's just like weather here on Earth. Well, at this very moment, I've got my headphones on. These whistlers are really coming in big streams now. There's just one whistler kind of merging into the other, all slowly descending in pitch. Oh, these are so great. Wow.
Steve McGreevy in Canada's Waterton Peace Park.
What is ham radio? It's the most fun you can have with a radio. Talk to people around the world or even orbiting the world.
And you don't need a 2-year contract or internet access to do it.
Learn about electronics and be of service to your community. ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, has over 2,000 clubs across the country, including this one in your area.
and I need the rest. My body feels so weak.
I'm on a train, wish you were here. I'm on a train, wish you were here. I'm on a train, wish you were here today. And I'm writing in this brightly colored card. I'm telling you the weather's fine and everything is dandy, but in fact the food is bad, the bed is hard.
I'm on a beach, wish you were here. I'm on a beach, wish you were here. I'm on a beach, wish you were here.
I've done what everybody does, try to get a suntan, but my skin is peeling off and feeling sore. I'm halfway through my second week, feeling kind of lonely, and my holiday's becoming quite a bore.
I'm on a beach, wish you were here. I'm on a beach, wish you were here. I'm on a beach, wish you were here today.
Tomorrow cannot rise without her smile. Day in, day out, good morning, morning. As pure as life, as fresh as days to come. And in her arms, a little boy again. But older love we share, oh what shame can we have to bear. For tomorrow cannot rise without her there. And in my arms, lying, laughing, crying, sighing. Good morning, morning. What do I have that she should stay with me? For she is fair as evening's perfumed air, and I have nothing more than the love we've come to share. For tomorrow cannot rise. Oh, tomorrow cannot rise. No, tomorrow cannot rise without her there.
scarce 45 on the Columbia label. David and David with Good Morning Morning. Before that, the Darlings with Wish You Were Here, and we started that set off with a Crystal Sect, Days and Weeks. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, homemade, homegrown music, broadcasting like it's 1969. This has been program number 496, the Forgotten 45 Show. I'm working toward 500 episodes here on WSCS, where Radio Thrift Shop has been broadcast since 2011. And before that, Seldom Heard Radio. I've been here since 1999. Until the next program, wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of everyone you love.